the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So in to continue the theme that that we had started when I gave a talk last time about the life of a great saint from the early centuries, a Coptic saint, Saint Anthony the Great, I thought it would be nice today to contemplate on the life of another saint from that time. Our church celebrates the departure of this great saint in February, on the second day of the Coptic month of Amshir. He's recognized as a saint in both the Eastern and Western church, and a true giant for his faith and devotion to God. It's said in our synaxarium that when St. Anthony the Great thought that he was the first to dwell in the wilderness, an angel of the Lord spoke to St. Anthony the Great and said of this saint, "There is a man who lives in the inner wilderness. The world is not worthy of his footsteps. By his prayers, the Lord brings rain and dew to fall on the earth and brings the flood of the Nile in its due season." And so when St. Anthony heard this, he immediately went into the inner desert to find this saint, and it's St. Paul, the first hermit. He's also called Paul the Anchorite, Paul of Thebes, Ambabola, or Ava Pavli. So who was this saint, this great saint? He wasn't a pope or a bishop or a priest or have any clerical rank that we know of. He wasn't a martyr or a confessor or a teacher surrounded by disciples. He wasn't known to cast out demons or healed folks that came to him for that reason. As a matter of fact, until the incident that we know of with Saint Anthony, had that not happened, we would not know about the beautiful life of the saint. And so, because God loves him so much, he wanted to honor him with this interaction with Saint Anthony. And as so Saint Paul, the first hermit, wasn't a monk. However, Saint Anthony, who is considered the father of monks, knew that this saint, by God's, God showing him this, that this was such a great saint that he looked to him as his father. And so when Saint Anthony actually met Saint Paul, St. Paul hadn't seen anybody in over 70 years, another human. So when we hear the word hermit, the one we think of is St. Paul. So before we begin the story, let me ask a simple question of why do we repeat the stories of saints? Why is that something important to us? Why today here in Southern California in 2019, do we want to know about someone who lived in the Egyptian desert in the third century? Well, to honor the saints, and it's the command of God, as we heard today in this liturgy of St. Basil, as this, O Lord, is the command of your only begotten Son, that we share in the commemoration of your saints. Graciously, O Lord, remember all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. And St. Paul is mentioned in the commemoration of the saints in the liturgy of St. Basil. So another reason is we are one church. We forget this sometimes. We are one church. There's a triumphant members of the church and the struggling members, right? And so we in the struggling or the struggling church, which is the ones who are still alive, who haven't passed away and gone on to paradise, we seek the intercessions of those saints. They're the invisible ones. Then we, because we're still here, are visible. And so, but in the eyes of God, we are actually one family. We're one family. And those are important things to remember, because as we're praying here, sometimes we forget that they hear us. They hear us. When we ask for their intercessions, those words are heard by both God and the saints. And we learn lessons from their lives on how to live. And we celebrate their victory over Satan. That's really important. One of Satan's biggest deceptions is to take away our hope, to think that it's too hard to get into heaven. It's too hard to be a saint. Just lie down and accept the fact that you're a sinner and will never change, and you have no hope. But we see the lives of some of the saints, and we are inspired by how they overcame and how they struggled with Satan and overcame that, and that inspires us. And our Coptic church is rich in saints. We're known as a church of martyrs, of strong faith, of monastics, and as we'll see today, of hermits as well. Our tradition tells us that the story of St. Paul was written within that of the life of St. Anthony, because we know of the life of this great saint in a couple of ways. One is, the only one that met him after so many years of being in the desert was St. Anthony the Great. And of course, when St. Anthony, and we'll hear in the story what happened, when he told his story to his disciples. So that tradition is an oral tradition of the disciples of St. Anthony knew about the life of this great man, St. Paul, and they carried it on. Also, there is one who was from the Western Church who came to Egypt, Jerome. He spent some time in the desert, and he spoke to the disciples of St. Anthony. This is after St. Anthony had passed away, and he heard about the life of Paul. He called it Paul of Thebes, and he wrote the story of St. Paul, the first hermit, in Latin. So there's, and the stories are very, very similar. In our Coptic Synaxarium, we have a version of the story and the one of Jerome, and they're identical, with the exception of a few minor details that aren't that pertinent or important, but the story is beautiful. So when St. Anthony met St. Paul, St. Paul recounted to him his life story. And so this is St. Paul telling St. Anthony about his life. So who was he? He was from a rich family, grew up in Alexandria in the 3rd century, and his parents were wealthy, so he learned to read. He spent a lot of time in church, and he was very devoted to the scriptures. His parents died when he was a young man, and there was a great inheritance. And yet he is, in our Coptic Synaxarian, we have the tradition of saying that he has a brother by the name of Peter, and his brother was older, and his brother wanted to take the inheritance for himself. And so he told St. Paul, you know, you're young, you'll probably squander this money, I'll hold on to it for you. And of course, Paul felt this was unfair. So there was a disagreement. And the disagreement led to them to say, well, we're going to go to the governor to judge what will happen to this situation. And so on their way to the governor, what happened was they came across a funeral procession, a large one. And in this funeral procession, St. Paul asked one of the people, who is this for, this great funeral? Oh, didn't you hear? This is for one of the noblemen. He's very rich. And yet, St. Paul felt that he's dead now. He's dead now. Who has his money? Not him. He's just buried with one garment. So it struck St. Paul, this situation of death. And that'll be the first lesson we contemplate for a minute now. So St. Paul looked at his brother and said, brother, I don't want to have this confrontation, this disagreement with you. You can have the money. You can have the money. We're not going to the judge. And on their way back home, Paul disappeared into the crowd. And he was never seen after that by his family. And so one of the beautiful contemplations that many of our fathers will tell us is this idea of he was confronted with death. How often have we heard of the departure of someone we know and paused and Let that thought confront us, that our days will end, that death will come to all of us. Many times we avoid it. It's not a subject we want to talk about. Even when we try to go comfort somebody who had a loved one that passed away, we don't even want to talk about that. But we need to, because confrontation with death is something that is given to us by God if we allow that to ourselves, to stand in front of death and allow us to be touched by the lesson of the death of others. So, to carry on the story, St. Paul went out to the outskirts of the city, and he found a grave site. So, as you know, the graves were outside the cities, and often they were a room, a cave, somewhere where you buried the bodies of the dead. And he stayed there praying and not eating or drinking for 3 days. And the entire time, he was asking God, what should I do with my life? So he was alone with God, and no one found him. His brother, I'm sure, looked for him and was sorrowful for what had happened. But St. Paul truly desired to know what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to do. He wanted him to guide him, right? So that's the second lesson. We don't do that as often as we should. No matter who we are or how old we are, you are never too old to stand before God in prayer and say, what do you want from my life? What do you want? Yes, I have a job, I'm retired, I'm young and still a student. What do you want from me? And let God move us to what he wants. And that's a beautiful aspect of the life of St. Paul. And so St. Paul was then in the presence of an angel of the Lord who appeared to him in the form of a man, a friend, and he guided him into the deep eastern desert, right? So Alexandria, if you know geographically, and then he went east toward the Red Sea. And this wasn't a place that was full of monks. It was a place that was abandoned wilderness. So St. Paul went very, very, very far, and he walked for many days. And then he came upon an area on a little bit of a mountain, elevated 300-400 meters from sea level, that had a spring of water, which is miraculous. A spring of fresh water and a cave. And near it were palm trees full of dates. And he knew that this is where he was going to remain. And he did. He died, passed away, departed at 113 years of age. So he was in his 20s when he went out to the desert. What happens to a person when they're out in the desert as a hermit? If we ask any of the monks about a solitary monk or a hermit now, they will tell us how incredibly difficult it is. When he's sick, no one is there to comfort him. When he's cold, when he's hungry, when he's bored, when he's tired and exhausted, when it's raining or when it's cold, when beasts come upon him, he has no one but God. He's completely alone with God. That's a hermit. And that's what makes this saint so great. Because one would ask, what did he do for all these years? What did he do? And we know from the interaction of Saint Anthony the Great with Saint Paul, the interaction was beautiful. It was only a day or so, maybe less. But what St. Paul asked St. Anthony gives us a little bit of insight of what he was doing. St. Paul left the world and the people of the world to be alone with God What did he do? When he saw St. Anthony, he asked him about who or what. He asked him about the people. How are the people? Are they doing well? Is the rain coming? Are they able to raise their crops? Are they glorifying God? This man prayed for others. That was his talent. And that's another lesson, possibly our third or fourth lesson, that we can get from the life of St. Paul. Everyone has talents. The talent of this man was not to preach and be surrounded by disciples. It wasn't to interpret scriptures to others. His talent was to pray, and he did it without ceasing for decades. He prayed for others, for the small and large things. And God listened to his prayers. And when we are experiencing the presence of God, we know there's a connection there that he hears us. Sometimes we feel inside warm or comforted. He lived this all the time. And one of the things that's wonderful for us is that we know that we're surrounded by people here at St. Paul, at our workplaces, that have that feeling inside of them. We can tell. So we heard today about the life of Brother Andre, who is the wonder worker of Montreal. A simple, simple man who felt the presence of God. And he moved people. They came to him to feel that feeling. We should use our talents and see what God does with it. One day, St. Anthony was contemplating about the life that he was leading in the desert as a monk surrounded by disciples that came to him. And this is the beautiful way that God wanted to reveal to the world the life of St. Paul. So as St. Anthony was wondering if there was another person who had lived and achieved what he had, to live in this hard life in the desert. And God spoke to him and told him that he's not the first to live this life, that there is someone before him who's even better. It reminds me of another story, somewhat similar, when you have a blessed saint who, because of their love for God, sometimes wishes others would feel that connection. And it leads their mind to wonder, I don't know if it's a trial of the devil or more just a curiosity. Saint Macarius the Great was probably in the desert for 40 years. And he had a thought of, God, does someone love you in the same way as I? And the story is beautiful. He was told to visit Alexandria, I believe it was, the city. And there he met two women who were married to two brothers who were shepherds, poor. And God had told him, these two I hold at the same level as you, Macarius. And what was so special about these women? They were married. They had children. They would fast and pray throughout the day. They had a complete unity between them. When one of their children would cry because he's hungry, the other would feed him. The love that they shared was profound. They were poor. They provided for their families, and whatever they had left, they would give to the poor. So you see, sometimes in our minds, we feel like there's this place that the saints hold because they're so righteous. And we forget that in the eyes of God, The righteous people are all around us. So Saint Anthony immediately gets up and he starts to go deeper into the desert to find this holy man. And the account written by Jerome tells us that he walked for many days, he was thirsty and tired. Now, St. Anthony was over 90 at this time. And when he got there, it was dark and there was like a wolf or something that walked in front of him into a cave, and it was drinking. And he was thirsty, so he walked to that place, and in the dark he stumbled and he cried out. And then this was the cave of St. Paul. And so there was, now St. Paul knew that St. Anthony was coming, but the story is beautiful in that St. Paul didn't let St. Anthony in right away. St. Anthony asked for the blessing. And then they embraced and they sat down, and St. Paul told him about his life. And then, as the story tells us, they were speaking and a raven came. And this raven brought a loaf of bread. And St. Paul told St. Anthony, "I know you're a man from God. You see, for so many years, this raven brought me half a loaf, and now it's a whole loaf." And there was this beautiful, like, "Why don't you break it? No, you should break it. No, you should break it. No, you, Father. No, you, Father." And they each held one side of it, and they both broke it. The next part is hard, because St. Anthony was so in awe of St. Paul, and they spoke about God, and then St. Paul asked St. Anthony to leave, to go and get a tunic from St. Athanasius for him. And so St. Anthony obliged, and he left. And this was St. Paul's way, because he knew he was going to be departing from this earth, and he knew the love that Anthony had for him already. He didn't want maybe to see him pass away, maybe. So, of course, St. Anthony went and got this tunic, and he told his disciples very briefly about this man that he met. And on his way back to St. Paul, he saw the angels carrying his soul to heaven. And he went into the cave, and our church tradition tells us that St. Paul was kneeling and praying, and he had departed. So St. Anthony then tearfully put this tunic on the body of St. Paul. And he took the other tunic that he was wearing. It's not really a tunic. It's actually, it's palm fibers that were woven together into a covering. And that's what St. Paul used. But St. Anthony was old. He was over 90. He didn't have any tools to dig a grave. And tradition tells us two lions came. Two lions came, and they stood, and it was as if they were bowing, waiting for instruction. And St. Anthony knew what was happening. They were sent from God to be the ones to dig the grave of this holy man. See how moving this story is? This is a great saint, burying another great saint in the middle of nowhere. There's no procession. There's no fine linens. There's no incense. There's no singing. There's none of that. He didn't have the burial of a king or anyone, really. There were two lions who dug his grave. St. Anthony laid the body there and covered it, and he took that tunic back And tradition tells us that that tunic was given to St. Athanasius, and St. Athanasius wore it over his own vestments during feasts. And some of the people were like, didn't understand the significance of this. Like, why? Why would you wear something that's all looks like this? And tradition always also tells us that there was a burial of someone who died. At that very day, St. Athanasius took off that tunic and put it on that person, and he came back to life. Just to show, God wants to show St. Paul his level of righteousness and how close he was to God. So we hear about these stories, and we've had a couple of reflections. One of the things that we, what I think about is these great saints of ours. We don't often, they're third, fourth century fathers who lived righteous lives in the deserts of Egypt. And we sometimes don't remember, don't contemplate their position, their place in our Coptic Church. I think we're dulled. I think in the Coptic Church, sometimes we have a sense of dulling of the great lives of these saints, because look around. There's so many icons. There's the beautiful icon there next to Tant and Archdeacon Mark with St. Anthony and St. Paul there. We see so many saints. St. Augustine had, when he read the life of Anthony by St. Athanasius, declared in his confession, "These men have none of our education, and yet they stand up and storm the gates of heaven." St. Paul the Apostle, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and 12, describes the faith of the Old Testament heroes. And he goes through a lot of them. And he mentions, "Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." So, in the words of St. Paul the Apostle, in describing the struggles of those of faith, he describes almost the identical story of St. Paul the first hermit. And the last point I wanted to just contemplate on, St. Anthony asked St. Paul a question. He said, "When I go back to the disciples, what advice can I give them?" It's like the moment, right? The moment of the two amazing saints. It's like, I wish I was there. It's like one of those, I really wish I heard this. And St. Paul said, "Tell them to embrace the struggle. Whoever tries to avoid hardship avoids God." Embrace the struggle. Our spiritual life, our life that we try to, sometimes we try to make easier, we realize that hardships come. When hardships come, this great saint said, embrace them. Because to avoid them would be to avoid God. No one wants to be encountering hardships. But this is the one gem of advice that this man who spent 90 years or so in the desert, said to pass on to the generations. Embrace the struggle. Don't avoid it. So may God give us the grace today to think about some of these beautiful things from the life of St. Paul, to take up the opportunity to read more about him and other saints in the early part of the Christian struggle, and to really enjoy the Coptic Church and its traditions and its saints, because we are so very blessed. And today, if you look around in this very room, there are saints sitting here with us. Remember, the saints that we see here are the struggling saints. There are the triumphant saints filling the seats in this room that we just don't see. So we should enjoy that. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Hear us, O Lord, when we say with all thanksgiving, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.